Hello and welcome to the podcast for The Lancet Oncology. I'm Richard Lane and we're discussing the June 2019 issue. Specifically, we're discussing imaging within the context of multiple myeloma. What guidelines exist? What type of imaging should be used in multiple myeloma? Not just for diagnosis, but also to guide clinicians in the way patients can respond to treatment. Well, to find out more, let's hear from one of the authors of a review in the June issue, who is our guest for this month's podcast.
Hello, my name is Jens Hillengers. I'm the chief of multiple myeloma at the Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center in Buffalo, New York.
Professor Hillengers, many thanks indeed for talking to The Lancet Oncology. We're here to discuss a review, which you're an author of, a leading author of, and this concerns a discussion around the use of imaging within the context of multiple myeloma. I think it's probably best that we start off discussing this at a global level, because there is a key international movement, isn't there? The International Myeloma Working Group, which is looking at myeloma from a global perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really a great group for people from all over the world. I actually asked them again. They were founded in 2001 by the International Myeloma Foundation, which started as a patient organization. And the International Myeloma Working Group is kind of their guideline research department or area. And it has 243 members from 39 different countries. We have meetings once to twice a year. And it's very exciting to see what's going on all over the world. Of course, there's a lot of discussion about new research, but also on what can we implement in the daily life of the physicians treating myeloma. And it's very exciting to see what's going on all over the world, actually. It's a very good exchange.
Thank you for that context. And why now is it important that we have recommendations about imaging for multiple myeloma?
Everyone wants to write guidelines, but the idea was the last guidelines for imaging were in 2009. And myeloma is a disease that can cause focal and diffuse destruction of the bone. And to see that, you need imaging. And in the 2009 guidelines, the recommendation was to use conventional skeletal survey, as it is called, like conventional X-ray. But it has been shown actually many years ago that this is not very sensitive. In fact, it has to be a destruction of 30 to 50, sometimes up to 70% of the bone until you see anything in X-ray. Even though it was the standard of care and it's very easily accessible, X-ray is not sensitive enough, especially since we have new techniques now. What we have implemented now is a so-called whole body low-dose CT, which is a more sophisticated technique to display the bone and this bone destruction, which is really devastating for those patients, and other imaging techniques that we would like to introduce into the clinical practice is also PET-CT, positron emission tomography, and MRI, magnetic resonance imaging.
In terms of the review, what are the key recommendations coming out of the report, both in terms of implications for clinical practice and for ongoing research in this field?
I think the major point is that we would like to exchange the skeletal survey, this conventional X-ray, with the whole body low-dose CT, which is, as you mentioned, a newer technique, a more up-to-date technique. And we actually, the International Myeloma Working Group also worked together to bring from different countries our results from CT and X-ray. And we found that if you only do X-ray, you miss 25% of patients who really have bone destruction already and need treatment with only using X-ray. So this is, I think, one of the major points. What we also would like to introduce is PET-CT, which is common used in a lot of other cancers already. But we have seen that myeloma has seen a lot of change in treatment. Patients live much longer and we achieve much deeper remissions. And those remissions can be assessed by serological markers, by biopsies, but also by imaging. And I think we agree all that we need more sophisticated imaging, also not only in the beginning to assess the disease, but also to assess the response and to see what is left after our standard treatment. And maybe eventually, we will decide based on those findings if we go on with treatment, if we change our treatment. So these are things that have been implemented in these new guidelines.
Thank you very much. And in relation to future research, can these guidelines help guide future research as well?
Yeah, there's still a lot to do. What we use is the CT, which is very good, the MRI, the magnetic resonance imaging, and also PET-CT. But we actually use a PET-CT that's coming from other tumors using nucleated sugar. And this FDG PET, the readers might know that. And this is not very specific for myeloma, because myelomas are not very aggressive disease. It is aggressive in the clinical setting, but the cells are not dividing very rapidly, so they don't light up as well as, for example, a high-grade lymphoma or a high-grade solid tumor. We need more sensitivity in these areas, and there's a lot of research ongoing to have more specific tracers or dye for those techniques, and also to figure out how we can assess these very low tumor burdens after treatment. We call it minimal residual disease. And therefore, we also need much higher sensitivity and also functional information that nowadays, with really cutting-edge imaging, can be provided. So we get more than just a morphological image of the patient. We also get functional information from them.
Can you just comment briefly on the longitudinal perspective now, clinically, for patients with multiple myeloma? How well is the disease being managed, and what are the implications now for prognosis and long-term survival for patients with multiple myeloma?
There's actually, I always say the other colleagues are oftentimes jealous, because in myeloma in the last 10 years, there has been a tremendous development in treatment. When I started 20 years ago, the patients had an overall survival of 2 to 3 years. Nowadays, we are talking about a median overall survival of 6 to 8, to even more than 10 years, which of course changes a lot in patients who really have only a short period of time to live with their disease. Some things are not that important or not that well recognized, but now patients live for over 10 years oftentimes, and even longer, and this is it's changing the whole landscape, from diagnostic to treatment to supportive care to survivorship, and all of those things are kind of coming into this direction of research in multiple myeloma right now.
Very good to have your time, Professor Hillengass, on the line from New York State in the United States. Many thanks indeed for talking to The Lancet Oncology, and good luck with your ongoing work in this very important area.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure. It was really great talking to you.